far, are you happy with what you've been able to accomplish?
Well, I think any public servant, you always want more. You know, it's just like anything when you're directing or in charge, you know, you want to accomplish bigger and greater things. But in Wheeling, you know, what I quickly learned after I got elected is, first of all, the Great Recession hit our country. It definitely had an impact on Wheeling, probably less of an impact than a lot of parts of the country. But what it really did is it just stopped all economic development or all opportunity for growth. Everybody kind of went into survival mode. And so while Wheeling really was never in survival mode, because we've been in survival mode for 40 years, so it wasn't much of a change. But what it did is it shifted us from being, you know, a fast growth, which is really where I wanted to be, was to going back maybe and just fixing the simple things, the small things, things that you really got to have before you can have great growth or great opportunity. And so, you know, I mean, Steve, you know all the things. I mean, from little things like, you know, fixing the police department, you know, multiple police officers, you know, in a car, to the tax system, to fire speed, to permitting process, you know, all of those things. Now the pension system, you know, cutting the size of government, or as I like to say, right-sizing the size of Wheeling. All of those things, you know, it took me a while to really navigate that, but what I realized is we can't move forward until we really solve the problems of today. And so we've had great opportunities. You know, you look at over the years, you know, Wheeling Hospital has grown, OVMC has grown, Oric has grown, Williams Lee has grown. So there's been some really bright spots. Our school systems have improved and invested in themselves, things that are very important for economic development to happen. One of the number one things people look for is a good education when they move into a community. So we're very proud to say that we have good public schools as well as good private schools. And so with all of that, I really look forward to the next, I think, half a dozen to a dozen years in the city of Wheeling. I'll only be mayor for a year and a half, but I think we've finally laid the groundwork to do great things in our community. And fixing the pensions had to be done. Right-sizing government had to be done. Reorganizing the way we tax our citizens and change the size of government, all of those things had to be done. And I think now we can really, truly start looking forward over the next 6 to 12 years.
The water plant construction project is a prime example of the non-kicking can mentality that you not only brought to the mayor's office, but also your council members have adopted the same attitude. Was that a team effort? Was that something that you addressed with council as soon as you were elected mayor?
Well, you know, one thing that we are very proud of is we've not shied away from controversy. You know, raising water rates, investing $50 million into a water plant are not always a popular thing to do. Until you're Charleston, West Virginia, you don't have safe, clean drinking water. And so, you know, this city council has really said, we're not gonna kick the can forward. You know, we know what needs to be done, so why not do it? You know, I've asked former mayors and former city council members, why did we get in the situation that we are with our pensions, with our water plant, with our infrastructure? And the reason was is that everybody knew what the problem was, but everybody was afraid to really tackle the issue. And so the highest compliment anybody can pay me is that we've not, you know, kicked the can down the road. We've really said enough is enough, and we've got to fix the problems. I plan on living here the rest of my life. I have three children that are living in our community, hopefully have the opportunity to stay in our community. We've got to fix this, not for tomorrow, not for even next year. We've got to fix our community for the next 5 to 30 years down the road. And I think we've been able to do some of those, and things like the water plant is a great example.
But 8 years doesn't seem to be enough for Andy McKenzie as mayor of Wheeling.
Well, you know, I really enjoy being there. I truly, you know, I just spent the last week in Charleston being down there, and everybody's saying, wow, you know, wouldn't it be great to be in the legislature right now? And it'd be fun to be in the legislature, I think, this year. But, you know, it was time for me, you know, I was there for 12 years. It was time for me to change, and I came back to be mayor so I could live in my community and be here. The greatest gift, other than my family, is the opportunity to serve the people of Wheeling in the great state of West Virginia. And I really have enjoyed that. And I hope that the changes that we've made in Wheeling over the last 6 years, 6.5 years, really will propel our community where everybody wants the same thing in our community, to be a great community. Not necessarily a bigger community, but a great community. And I think we've laid the groundwork to continue to evolve, and I think we're seeing that with the young people. Look at East Wheeling and what we've done in East Wheeling. you know, you're seeing all these young people. I hear you on your show talk about, you know, the 20-somethings. And, you know, when I was 20-something, that didn't exist. When you were 20-something, they all left. And now people that aren't even from our community are moving into our community and saying, I want to be a part of this. You know, little things like First Fridays, you know, little things like the brew pub in Center Market, or the, you know, the new restaurant in Center Market, or the new shop in Center Market. I mean, those are exciting things because those are small entrepreneurs. You know, they're not wealthy people or people of any stature. They're just saying, hey, I want to be part of this, and they're excited to be a part of it.
East Wheeling, the J.B. Chambers Recreation Park. It seemed like a great idea, but then it turned into a great source of frustration for you and other council members.
Well, you know, change does not come easy. Change even to Wheeling even is harder than probably a lot of communities. And, you know, what we did is, you know, while the J.B. Chambers Foundation stepped up and really invested a significant amount of money in that project, and so did others, you know, Jim Bordas and the list goes on, several Wheeling Hospital. You know, a lot of people stepped up and said, you know, we believe in this vision. But it was never about, and I've said this a million times, it was never about a soccer field. It was never about a soccer field. It was never about an athletic complex. It was about revitalizing East Wheeling to give the community back to the people that live there. And so one thing I learned as a legislator is what government does really poorly is we like to give a little bit of money out to everyone so we can make everyone happy. And so when I came back to be mayor, I really thought, you know what, we can't do that in Wheeling because we've been doing that in Wheeling and it hasn't worked. You know, every year we give a little bit of money here, a little bit of money there, but we don't see any real significant change. So what we did is we said, we're gonna pool our money and we're gonna tackle one area. And what kind of came to the top was East Wheeling. And the reason it was at East Wheeling for a couple reasons. One, it was downtown Wheeling's closest neighbor, first. Second, it was our highest crime neighborhood. Drugs, you know, guns, prostitution, everything that we're not proud of in our community. And so what we really had to do was change the community and get people invested back into the community. So I wanted to show the people of East Wheeling in our community that we're serious about fixing those problems. So we went in and bought, I think, 32 parcels of property. Some had buildings, some didn't, of which I think about 8 of them were inhabited. And so it was the most desolate block in the entire community. And we tore it down and we invested millions of dollars into it. And you know what's amazing now? When I'm out in the neighborhood, everyone says, wow. You know, I was just in Charleston and I had someone sitting there saying, I gotta tell you, I drive by that East Wheeling complex, as they call it, that is phenomenal. And of course, then they ask about Clay School and everything else. But, you know, it was about stepping up and making a difference in one of our communities.
Still, on the first day you had mentioned that it's going to be paid for by all donations, all private money. There's still approximately $1.2 million worth of taxpayer money invested into that property. Is the fundraising continuing? Will you make good on that promise?
Yeah. Well, there's no public dollars in the athletic part of the complex, okay? So we've spent a little over $3 million. Of which everything that has the turf, the lighting, the fence, everything to make the field has been privately paid for. So far the only public part has been getting rid of dilapidated and vacant buildings, as which, you know, we spend $250,000 in our community. So we did no different with public funds in East Wheeling than we do in the entire city. The difference is we made an effort to say we're going to spend what we normally spend citywide, and we're going to commit it to East Wheeling. So to answer your question is the field has been paid by private donations. The investment in East Wheeling has been paid by private donations. The public sector stepped up and said, we're gonna tear down the most blighted, dilapidated, dangerous part of our community in the city of Wheeling. So to answer your question, yes, we are still trying to raise money. I would still like to get some of our investment back. And I think as we see the field being used more and more, I think those private dollars will come forward. You know, we had goalposts put up, paid for by private dollars. There's a gentleman that wants to, or a person I should say, that wants to put, you know, a couple hundred seats in so we can have athletic games there. So I think the opportunity is endless But again, what it was about, Neverfield, was about, you know, kind of the Field of Dreams in a way, as some people call it, and they're negative when they call that. But I think it truly was, is that you're seeing now people buying homes, revitalizing homes. I know you talked about the other day on your show, the one home that's down the street from you. Is that, what a beautiful home. And do you think those people would have bought that if they didn't feel there's an opportunity in East Wheeling? The answer is absolutely no. So I would like to continue to raise money. We're still raising money, and I still think you're going to see more investment, including things like Clay School and some of the other structures around there. I think we're going to do some dynamic things there.
Andy, what's been the most frustrating aspect of being the mayor of the city of Wheeling for the last 6.5 years?
Well, I mean, you'd have to say probably, you know, I'd love to see our population grow. You know, I'd like to see more jobs and opportunities in our community. And that's bigger than the mayor of Wheeling. You know, I've quickly learned, I always thought, boy, if I could just be mayor and we could create these jobs. You know, I always love to listen to people on radio or on newspaper, TV say, you know what downtown Wheeling needs? It needs a Walmart or it needs a CVS. And it's like I can go out and force that business to come into that community. And the private businesses are going to make those decisions based on the economics. And so what my job is to make the economics of downtown Wheeling, the city of Wheeling, look good. And how do you do that? You clean it up. You invest in it. You fix the infrastructure. You know, you pay your pensions so we don't go bankrupt. You know, things like that to make our community a better community. Now all of a sudden the Orks of the world or the Williams Lees of the world or the Wheeling Hospitals of the world say, you know what, this is a great community. We need to invest in this community. And so that's what we're doing. But to be, you know, frustrated, I think it'd be no different if you were in Congress or if you were the governor of our great state, is that it's frustrating that we do have a great state. We have great people in our state. But what we've really lacked is we've not made the jump from an industrial state to a technology state. You know, you look at the states that are thriving, Texas and Virginia and California, people say, well, we're not those states. Well, we're not. But we can copy what they're doing, and we can make our tax structure more business friendly in our state to provide opportunity for companies that want to come in. Our cost of doing business in West Virginia is a lot lower than it is in Virginia or California, maybe on par with Texas. But we've got to be more competitive. Then we got to educate our kids better. We got to educate them different. We got to make sure they get educations in the right fields. And once they get educations in the right fields, technology firms will start looking at us in West Virginia. So, you know, economic development and population growth are the two things but it goes back to what I started the interview with, is that if you do all these things, it's like a building block. When you don't put a roof on the house first, you build a foundation. And so we're building that foundation so we can eventually build a great house.
It seems during the last 6.5 years, the city of Wheeling has a more enhanced relationship with the state of West Virginia. I give you credit for that because of your 12 years in the West Virginia Senate. Recently, this past week, you spent a lot of time in Charleston, you know, making some good points about home rule being statewide. I'm with you. I think the legislature should grant all municipalities throughout West Virginia home rule. Do you think it'll ever happen, especially now that the majorities have changed in both chambers?
Well, you know, Steve, I'll tell you, I'm a Republican, so I'm probably a little biased. I think that 83 years of one-party control, regardless of what party it is we stop challenging ourselves in many ways. The people change, the players change, but the attitude and the direction never did. And we've had great governors that were Democrat and Republican. We've had great legislators that are Democrat and Republican. But I think what happened is we got so used to a system that we didn't allow it to change. And what's great and exciting about this new party coming in, and I hate to say it, Republicans or Democrats, because to be honest with you, I think if it was Republicans were in charge in 83 years, that it would be exciting that the Democrats were coming, because it would bring a new leadership, a new direction. So it just happens to be the Republicans coming in. So I'm excited about that. To answer your question, I think that they will open home rule up, at least to the 7 cities that applied that did not get accepted. Maybe it's six or seven cities that applied to it. But I think that my talking, I've spent a lot of time with legislators over the last 60 days. I've been in Charleston a lot, meeting with the leadership. I've been trying to interject myself as much as I can in meetings everywhere and speaking to everyone. I think you're going to see a lot of changes. And home rule is the top of the list. I'm even advocating, and I'm not on the school board, advocating for home rule on school boards. You can't educate kids in 55 counties the same way. No different. You can't run cities in 55 counties the same way. Wheeling is not Welch. Welch is not Shepherdstown. Shepherdstown is clearly not Wheeling. Morgantown, Parkersburg, and Wheeling are about the same size, but we're three completely different cities. So you can't have this one-size mentality that we've run our government, and you can't do it with education. And I think you're going to see things like home rule maybe for the school boards, which I think would be enormous for someone like Wheeling. That's a progressive school board that, you know, the Northern Panhandle is very different than McDowell County. To allow us to start governing and educating our kids and teaching our kids, you know, is different than the way they do in Southern West Virginia. I'm not saying it's better, but it's different. But we don't have the ability to do that because they don't give us the ability to govern education locally. No different than what they did with the cities. You know, I told a story when I was talking to the leadership the day, and they know what I'm talking about because they're there, is that a person from Welch, West Virginia, or Shepherdstown, West Virginia, would come to me, Andy McKenzie, a senator, and say, we need this, whatever this was. And I would sit back and say, well, you know, I don't really know your area. I don't really know what the project is. The question I'm really asking is not that it's good for you. Is it good for Wheeling? Is it good for Wheeling? And if I came back and thought, wow, this really, it's not, it doesn't really help West Virginia. It doesn't really help Weirton or Wheeling or Beach Bottom, West Virginia. I'm going to vote no. So then what happens, those people in those communities go back and they're furious at the legislature because they knew what was good for their community but weren't allowed to do it, okay? So why should a legislator in Wheeling, West Virginia dictate what McDowell does or what Cabell does or Kanawha does or Shepherdstown or Jefferson County, West Virginia? Let those people govern their community. They know best. You know, you walk the streets of Wheeling. You know what's best for Wheeling. You know, you could go to Charleston right now and you could ask any legislator down there other than the four that are from the Wheeling area and ask them about East Wheeling, and none of them could give you an answer. But it's not their responsibility necessarily, but they're making decisions about East Wheeling. So why is that? It should be made right here in the city council.
On February 24th, you'll do, I believe, what, your sixth or seventh State of the City?
You know, I don't know. It's not as many years as I've been here, because you remember the first year or two, we did not do that.
That's true.
We were the first city council and mayor to ever do that. The credit is deserved by Gene Fahey. Gene was on a business trip. Vice Mayor Gene Fahey was on a business trip and went to the State of the City address somewhere in the Carolinas. He came back and had the brochure, and he was like, Andy, we got to do this. You know, some other cities in the state do that. And I had seen it, but he was like, this was the greatest thing ever. And we did it. And so, you know, Vice Mayor Fahey deserves the credit on that one. And so this would be my sixth, you know, seventh year, because I'll get to do one more in my eighth year. So it's probably my fifth or sixth year doing it.
Is the best part of that when you get to honor local folks?
It is. You know, one of the things, and you know that as a person that out working, you know, people like that little pat on the back to say, hey, you know, you've made a difference. And, you know, I was at the State of the State address last night at the governor, and, you know, they honored the Teacher of the Year, which is from West Virginia. And, you know, so I was spent some time with her, you know, last night.
You mean from here?
I'm sorry, where did I say?
You said from West Virginia, but she's a teacher at Wheeling Park High.
Absolutely. I meant Teacher of the Year from West Virginia, from Wheeling Park High School. And so, you know, I got to spend some time, and I've known her for a couple years now. And I went up and I talked to her. I said, wow, what was that like? She goes, man, that was incredible. You know, and she will carry that enthusiasm back to Wheeling Park High School. She'll carry that enthusiasm back to her students. And so that teaches me as mayor, talking to her, you know, she was like, this is something I never would have dreamed that I would have been honored by the State of West Virginia and our governor. And so when I do that, even as mayor in the city of Wheeling, it shows appreciation for those business people. You know, you look at Cupworth Roofing and the investment that they've made in the Cayley building now. You know, they need to be honored. You know, you look at Sledco out in Elm Grove, they need to be honored. But then you go down to Center Market and some, you know, couple that have opened up a little bakery. You know, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for investing in our community. Thank you for paying taxes. You know, no one wants to pay taxes, but thank you. You know, without it, we couldn't have a police department and a fire department and all those things. So to answer directly, I think it's the highest honor that an American can give or a governor can give or whatever to show appreciation and do it. And yeah, that's exciting.
You have a year and a half left as mayor. That'll mean that you've been in public elected service for 20 years. Then what?
You know, I'll tell you, that's hard to believe. You know, you think about it. I'm 44, and I enjoyed politics when I was little, 13, 14. I always had this fascination with public service, you know, and I always wanted to go in the Marine Corps. My dad was a Marine. My uncles were Marines. And I got involved in business at a young age, started working in my family business when I was 13, and through college. And then one day I'm driving down the road here in downtown Wheeling, and I hear that no one's running for the state Senate. And I said, you know what, I can do that. I'm 25 years old. I'm like, I can do that. So long story short, I get on the ballot, and somehow I won. And so I hope that I've never, you know, clearly not everyone in the first district or the city of Wheeling agree with me. Sometimes they maybe never agree with me. But one thing that I hope that they see is that we've always been honest, we've always been direct, and I don't beat around the bush where I'm at. Now, you know, I don't always tell you where I'm at on issues because sometimes we're working on a project or something and I can't speak about that publicly. But I take my integrity and I take my honesty and I take my livelihood. You know, that's all there is in life. You know, I have three boys and I tell them your integrity is one thing you can never ruin because once you ruin it, you cannot get it back. And so 20 years, that'll be a long time. You know, people ask me, you know, would I want to be back in the legislature or would I like to continue to be mayor? You know, there's a time for everything. I did my time in the legislature. I'm proud of it. I knew when it was time to leave. What I don't get to make that decision as being mayor because it's a two-term limit. But 8 years is enough being mayor. You know, it's time for someone else. Do I still have a lot of opinions? I do. Is there still more that I'd love to do? There is. But I think there's time for someone else to come with new ideas and different ideas. And that's what the next mayor will do. They'll come with a different slant. And that's good for our community. I don't think mayors should be there. I don't think governors should be there. I don't think presidents should be there. I think there's a point where they've done all they can do and there needs to be someone else. So I don't know what the next chapter of my life brings. I fortunately have a very good practice. I'm a financial advisor. And I've enjoyed doing that for 16 years now. And so my family lives here in town. So I don't know. But politics has a way of figuring things out for you sometimes. And I was able to just kind of move into the state senate. I was able to just kind of move into being mayor. So if there's a path that opens for me, you know, we'll look at that. But I've got 16 months and I'm completely focused on being mayor.
How does McKenzie for Congress sound to Andy McKenzie?
It depends on who you're asking. I think my wife would say not very good. All options, some way, somehow, you know, my political career could be done in 16 months. You know, I don't know. I'm going to ultimately do what's best for our state, our community, and utmost what's best for my family. I still have a young son. And, I was away at Charleston a lot when my oldest son and my middle son was growing up. You know, whatever I do is it's going to be based on what's the best thing for us as a family. Because you only get to be dad of your kids for so long, and then they grow up and they're gone. And I've cherished, you know, me being part of their lives.